It is hour number two. Remind you, we're going to be down at Omni Nashville Hotel, Bill Keene Show, and our show. Of course, Bill, 6 to 9, us from 9 to 11. That's coming Friday morning down at Kitchen Notes. So you're more than welcome. Come hang out with us.
Go ahead. No, I was just saying, we encourage you. Come hang with us.
Wes Durham, Charles Barkley's best buddy. He's the voice of the Atlanta Falcons and ACC football, ACC network, all that stuff. Wes, good morning. How you doing, man?
What's up, Wes?
Pogie, I'm good. How are you guys? Good to be with you.
Doing well. Great. I love the picture with you and Charles Barkley.
Well, that was in the middle of Curry Kirkpatrick's Hall of Fame speech last Monday night in Winston-Salem at the NSMA Awards, and Curry ran a little over the allotted time, and Charles was standing there with Leslie Visser, and bless Leslie's heart, she wanted to sit down, so I exchanged chairs with her, and next thing I know, I've got a, you know, 6 foot, 6.5 inch basketball Hall of Famer leaning on me, and I'm like, okay, and then now all of a sudden I've got pictures of it. I had no idea people were making pictures. We were sitting there listening to Curry wrap up, but it was cool, and he was gracious to be there for it, and it was a fun night. I've been around him a few times in the Atlanta area, Greg, and he was unbelievable with people. There may not be a better ambassador from a sports celebrity standpoint than Charles Barkley. I mean, time for everybody. It was really phenomenal to watch him work a room of 300 people at an event like that last Monday night.
I remember, you know, from my days in Pittsburgh, covering Mario Lemieux Celebrity Golf Tournament, and MJ used to come every year, and so did Barkley. And Barkley was kind of the meat shield for MJ. You know, MJ didn't want to interact with anybody. He was doing his own thing. But you're right. Barkley's out there shaking everybody's hand, taking pictures, hugging people. He's that dude, isn't he?
Yeah, it's amazing. I heard those Tahoe stories about Barkley and Jordan at that celebrity players event they used to have out there. Mm-hmm. Or still do, I guess. But, yeah, they used to say Jordan was the guy trying to, you know, figure out a way to play 36, and Barkley was the guy trying to figure out a way to play 9 and then have 27 of fellowship. So, he's really good at it, and God bless him. I mean, you know, he's just one of those guys now with and Ernie Johnson went in the Hall of Fame too, so there was a reason he was there purposely for Curry and for Ernie. But, you know, just terrific with people and refreshing to see is, you know, in a time where, you know, athletes can take a bad rap for the way the social media portrays them at times, I think.
Wes, I'm not stalking you, but I think you found out about UCLA Southern Cal while on the golf course. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah.
I was actually flying back to Charlotte on Thursday of last week to do our final Packer and Durham show for ACC Network on Friday, and I got wind of it, and then, had the weekend off for the 4th and everything. But yesterday, Tom Hart of the SEC Network and I are great friends, and we played golf, and we were laughing about it. And he said, we all posted videos saying we're talking about rumors. And, yeah, so we did. It was funny. But here's the thing, and I'll just tell you about Southern Cal and UCLA, and if you guys want to ask about ACC, we'll get to it. But to me, Southern Cal and UCLA is about timing as much as it's about anything else. You have to understand their rights are up at the end of next year. That's why they can pull this off. And so for them to be able to walk away from the Pac-12 without having to sacrifice a dollar is very rare. And I will contrast that with Oklahoma and Texas, you know, because there is no timetable for Oklahoma and Texas right now. There's speculation of a timetable, but there is no actual timetable as to when Oklahoma and Texas are going to join the Southeastern Conference. That shows you the difference in those two mergers, that Southern Cal and UCLA know exactly when they're going to go, and they made the decision to go, and all the other questions, travel and all that be damned, they're going. And it comes right in the midst of the Big Ten negotiation. Greg Sankey knows Oklahoma and Texas are coming, and they're going to come at a certain point for sure. Maybe they come a year early or what have you, and they're negotiating their contract along the way. That's where this kind of is a little bit different. And then now what happens when USC and UCLA go, guys, is that it creates a firestorm about other leagues who have that gap in revenue, who have brands. Let me also say this is a lot different than 11 years ago. 11 years ago was still about television markets. Now this is about brands. This is about schools and teams that can put a certain number on the board from a rating standpoint. This is not about, well, I'm in a market of 9 million people, so they obviously want me. or I'm in a market of 11 million. No, 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 no. It's not about TVs. It's not about subscribers. It's not about any of that. It's about the number of the game that it will get. If Tennessee plays USC, will that get 14.5 million people? If it is, it's deemed a very, very successful college football game.
Wes Durham with us, voice of the Atlanta Falcons, also ACC Network. And the other shoe or shoes to drop, I guess we're all just sort of waiting to see what happens. We can speculate all we want. Notre Dame, yep. ACC, certainly the marquee of Clemson. You got the Miami market, Florida State, whatever.
Right.
You're, you know, obviously, you know, the place where your dad called the legendary, you know, Woody at North Carolina. What happens there? Right. What happens, you know, and then Washington and Oregon, do they try to get in on the Big Ten mix? It's we're all just sort of sitting around waiting for the next shoes, plural, to drop.
And I think, Wes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, my man, but I think we're talking about it earlier, just the fact that I think the movement's going to come quickly, don't you? Because these schools know, hey, if we're going to do this, we got to do this now and set our plan in motion, because we don't want to be sitting here holding the bag in a couple of years when, you know, everything dries up.
I would disagree in certain respects. I'd agree in others.
Okay.
I think if your rights fee is up, I think you've got to think about it.
Right.
If your rights fee is not up, you've got to think about it in another way. Because you have to remember that this, everybody keeps talking about, oh, the grant of rights of the ACC is a terrible thing. Well, it's not a terrible thing if you remember, because you know you're going to get that number. Now, it might not be as high as what the Big Ten and the SEC are doing, but you also have to remember, too, that for every different school, there's a different philosophy, right? You know, and again, I'll go back to the brand statement as opposed to the market statement here. Let me just share the insight with you on the ACC. The grant of rights agreement is an agreement that basically allowed the 14 schools, the 14 fully invested schools, that's not Notre Dame, right? Notre Dame is an invested school, but they're not fully invested because the football money is generated a different way. But those 14 schools conveyed their grant of rights through the 2035-36 season to the Atlantic Coast Conference. So if any of those schools get up and leave, they will not take any rights with them to their new conference. Okay? So in other words, if let's hypothetically say that, for argument's sake, let's say Vanderbilt wins a vote in the room with Greg Sankey and they add another private school, and let's say Wake Forest is coming to the Southeastern Conference. Okay? Well, by the time Wake Forest comes to the Southeastern Conference, let's say Wake Forest and Clemson, they're going to add two more teams. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Oklahoma and Texas, we know, are going to show up at some point in the next few years. So let's say that Wake Forest and Clemson have decided they're going to go to the Southeastern Conference. That would be teams 17 and 18, right?
Mm-hmm.
Starting in 2025, 26. That's 10 years before the ACC agreement ends. So that means that the SEC's pie, which would have 16 slices in it, now has to create two more slices in it. They would pay 18 schools for 16 slices. You follow me?
Yeah.
So in other words, everybody's going to lose some money out of that deal. Now, there may be percentages and things like that. Like, you guys, have, I'm sure, have always heard about ticket sharing and ticket revenues for basketball tournaments and all these things. But that's the way the grant of rights is going to work. And I don't think a lot of people think, well, if somebody walked off, hypothetically, if somebody walked off today from the ACC, they would surrender somewhere in the neighborhood of $570-some million in rights fees through the end of that contract. Now, I don't know. There are a lot of wealthy athletic departments. I'm not sure there's anybody willing to just, you know, throw $570-some million in the river.
Yeah.
Okay? So I think everybody has to pump the brakes a little bit. And the other thing, too, and Greg, when have we ever heard this in life? I think it really matters who you listen to. So where is things being generated from? Like, for instance, all of a sudden, you know, over the weekend, I'm on vacation with my wife at some friends of ours' house over the lake, and all of a sudden I'm hearing Carolina, Miami, Clemson, you know, Florida State, who, by the way, is still paying Willie Taggart, by the way. I mean, still paying Willie Taggart.
Don't get me started. I'm a Florida State fan.
But, I mean, okay. I mean, I'm just saying, you're still paying Willie Taggart.
Yep.
And you're going to keep paying Willie Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Florida State's not, last time I checked, J. Paul Getty's not walking around the corner at Florida State either. Carnegie, Rockefeller, any of those cats, they're not on the corner in Tallahassee.
Hmm.
So they don't have $570 million that they can kick the can on. I'm getting at that because I think that's real money. So when you hear the speculation on this, I think it's fine to cannonball in the pool of speculation, guys, but I think we also got to be real honest about where this is coming from. These university presidents, I know they don't want to do this, but they got to get in the fire on this. And, Greg, you know what I mean by this. And we were at Vanderbilt covering Vanderbilt together. University presidents don't want to get in the middle of this fire because this is, in Vanderbilt's case especially, this flies in the face of everything that institution's mission statement is about, right? I mean, we're talking about money, NIL, portal, all this thing that the world of college athletics is. So when you all of a sudden say, well, we're up and going to leave a league and go someplace else, oh, by the way, we're going to leave $500 million sitting on the table, that's a different world, and nobody's talking about that part of this. It's just fun to think about, oh, well, there are going to be two leagues of 20 and a league of 16 and another league of 14 or whatever the case may be.
Who has the ACC rights?
ESPN.
Okay, here's my thinking. All right, ESPN, who has the SEC rights as well.
Mm-hmm. And also has the Big 12 digital rights, mm-hmm. and coming soon maybe to a neighborhood near you, the Pac-12.
All right, does that matter? Because, hey, we're talking about TV rights. Well, they're all in bed with the ESPN on this one, the ACC and the SEC.
Mm. Sure, but you also got to remember, too, ESPN's getting ready to write a brand-new contract when they assume the CBS portion of the SEC deal, right? And Jimmy Pitaro, the chairman of ESPN, just told Richard Deitch in a podcast that ESPN fully expects to take the three ESPN windows and the major ABC window and fill it with SEC games. Well, I understand all that, but now there's an understanding and a potential of a certain dollar figure that's going to be maintained by the 16 schools that will be in the SEC at that time. At some point, there's a point of decline, though, where, you know, if let's hypothetically say every school in the SEC gets $71, $72 million, well, there's going to be a point where if you have 18 schools, that number's going to go down. And it's still going to be more than, say, the other three leagues, whatever their state is in 10 years or 12 years. But I think the SEC and the Big Ten are clearly the loggerheads on this thing, and that's fine. ESPN and Fox are involved in this. There's no question about that. I think Eric Shanks, the chairman of Fox Sports, was clearly involved in USC and UCLA, if you read some of the coverage that's been done on this. I thought Nicole Auerbach and Chris Vanini in The Athletic, they had an unbelievable story about how it happened last week with Kevin Warren on Zoom from Wimbledon and all sorts of things. I just think you have to understand that TV is the driving force behind this, and I will go back to that rating standpoint. That 14.5 million is a big, that's a number that people pay attention to. Andy Staples wrote it about it a year ago after Oklahoma and Texas. That's a big number. That's why we're talking about USC and UCLA, and we're not talking about Cal and Stanford. You notice that? We're not talking about Arizona State. We're not even talking about what, I mean, Oregon and Washington are nice schools to talk about, but are we really talking about them the way we talk about SC and UCLA? The answer is no. And the schools you've mentioned in the ACC, I mean, in all honesty, the ACC is still waiting on Miami to be relevant in football.
Mm.
And, you know this, John, Florida State's got a chance, but Florida State hadn't been Florida State, not your dad's Florida State.
Nope.
And that's where the ACC, they're sitting here looking at the 22 football season going, huh, okay, everybody's kicking us to the curb. Well, by the way, we might have four teams in the top 20 in the preseason. We might have five in the 25, you know, by mid-September if they play well early out of the gate. And so I don't know what's going to happen to the ACC, but I'm fairly confident in this, Greg, that I don't think anybody from the ACC is going anywhere soon. Let's put it that way.
Hmm. Voice of the Falcons, Wes Durham. Let's flip it to it's easy for people around here to follow the Falcons. That's for damn
sure. Yeah, a lot of familiarity. Oh,
my gosh.
Oh, my God. I mean, we're going to come out and wear light blue in the preseason.
Yeah. okay, Cameron Batson, Rahsaan Evans, Firkser, sure. Mariota.
Yeah, Mike Keith sent me his whole board, Poke.
you know what he's going to say? One of these guys is going to score, and he's going to say, touchdown, Titans!
Bo Brinkley.
Don't sell me down the road on that, John. That could happen. And then, preseason game, I'm going to check everybody.
Right? And then on top of that, you got Casey Hayward, played at Cordarrelle Patterson, who played at Tennessee. Jake Matthews, of course, the Matthews connections here.
Sure.
And Arthur Smith. Mariota, what's the end game there, and how soon will they flip it over to Ritter?
Well, first of all, I think all the guys you mentioned, from Evans to, I mean, you know, Carter's here now, the defensive end, who was a Georgia kid who started out in New York. I mean, we got a lot of guys, as my friend Dave Archer, who I do the games with, says, Pogue, we got a lot of guys that maybe have a chip on their shoulder, right? So, and that's okay. In this particular situation, that's okay. Arthur did a fabulous job a year ago, you know, kind of mixing, matching guys, and certainly Cordarrelle had a terrific year here. But I think where Marcus is, and I think, God, what a great guy. I mean,
I
don't know what the, I mean, he's top shelf people now.
Wes, I got to tell you, I wanted it to work here with Marcus. I wanted him to be the guy. Yeah. He's the guy that you would feel comfortable with him dating your daughter or your sister or babysitting your kids, quarterbacking your football team. But with Arthur Smith, I think, you know, maybe he can capture some of that old magic.
Well, I think that's really all they're asking is for him to come in, be the veteran leader, learn from the experience not only in Tennessee, but certainly the one he had in Vegas, and give it all he can. And look, I'm going to be honest with you. Do I think Desmond Ritter is the guy in the future? At some point, yes, we're going to find out whether he's the long-term guy of the future. I can't answer that yet because I haven't seen him. I mean, I've seen him run around with a helmet and shoulder pads and, you know, leggings on. That's about it. I want to see him in a preseason. I want to see the way. I know Dan Hoard, who did his games at UC, who also does the Bengals on radio.
Good buddy of mine. We worked together in Syracuse. Dear friend of mine.
He's a great guy.
Yep.
I mean, and Dan is a great guy, and he tells me Ritter is a fantastic kid. And I think Atlanta is starting to really build some things here, but they're still kind of in, you know, incarceration from the salary cap a little bit. They may have another move here before camp starts. I still think there's a potential of one more move for Terry Fontenot, the GM. But I think they're going to be competitive. The division is going to be Tampa, and then we'll see what else happens.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of drama in Charlotte with the Panthers. I mean, it's Sam Darnold. It's Baker Mayfield. you know, it's the flavor of the week at quarterback. I mean, we don't know what's going on up there. And Christian McCaffrey, can he stay healthy? But realistically, it is Tampa's division to win or lose here, I think, at least the way we start. For Atlanta, I give Arthur a ton of credit. He's really done a nice job coming in and setting the bar. Not just setting the bar in terms of what we're going to be, but what he wants them to be every week. And I think you guys, and Greg, we talked about this, I think you guys saw that when he was working up there and the fact that he got so many different coaching administrations under his belt in Nashville has been a huge boost in Atlanta here too.
Well, he paid his dues, no doubt about it. And the thing is, he survived, three coaching changes. And that doesn't happen very much at all. And for somebody, quite frankly, doesn't have to work a day in his life, paid his dues.
Yeah, you don't have to sell us on Arthur Smith here. We love him. We loved him when he was here. Yeah. And, you know, we're definitely rooting for him without question in Atlanta.
Yeah, and he's been, and to be honest with you, And I'm sure you guys knew this in Nashville, a lot of people in Atlanta, he's been a very quiet and reserved guy,
mm-hmm.
but he's kind of funny. I mean, he's got a lot of dry humor about him.
Yes,
and, you know, he made reference to the Junction Boys in a minicamp press conference. And, you know, the room now, I mean, Pogue, he looked at Jeff Schultz of The Athletic and me, and I'm like, yeah, we're the only two in the room. but he's done a really good job here. And got to be honest with you guys, that's half the battle here.
Yep.
Atlanta will stay with you. Look, we're all, you know, everybody wants to win, and we all know what the reality of the league is. But if Atlanta thinks you're putting an effort out there every Saturday and you're doing it in a way that reps the brand of the city and the hard work and the, you know, the expansive demographics we have here, I think people will follow. And if you play hard, you're gonna get a buy-in, and I think they're gonna play hard. And to me, people say, what kind of season are you going to have? And I say, well, we're going to play 17 games. but here's what I think.
Sounds like Vrabel.
I think Atlanta's going to be one of four or five teams where the three preseason games, they're going to make a damn. They're going to mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be interesting to watch them build this team, knowing that it's a team that may evolve again from 1 to 17 like last year's team.
All right, one more. We'll let you go. In the division here with the Titans, the Colts, Matt Ryan. Does he have game left?
Yeah, he does. Yep, and he's with the right team. I mean, because, I've seen what he can do when he's got a proven running back and a proven offensive line. They have both. I think he's got good wide receivers. And I think he's got a really, really talented linebacker in Darius Leonard on the other side. He is excited to be there. He and I exchanged texts about a month ago, right after he had his first OTA up there, and he was pumped. And I think he really likes Frank Reich and the way that organization is going. And he sees a window, Greg. And I think that's why he wanted to go to Indianapolis. And I'm excited for him. I mean, there are going to be a lot of blue 2 jerseys in Mercedes-Benz this year. Because that is the – now, think about it like this. That's the greatest player in Falcons history, guys. I mean, it's not even – Steve Barkowski, great. Deion Sanders, sure. That guy right there was – the MVP of the league. He's the first and only Atlanta Falcon to be the MVP of the league. It's the greatest player in franchise history. So he left a lot here, and he's living here in the off season and still doing a lot of things from a philanthropic and charitable side. So, yeah, I'm excited for him, and I think the Colts have a chance. Because I don't know about y'all, but, I mean, I love where they were with subpar quarterback play last year. So I think it's going to get really interesting for sure.
You know, Wes, and I'll let you go, but it was Old Home Week. We had DiNardo on Friday.
Oh, Greg. Oh. Did he say Tennessee, Greg?
He did Tennessee, say Tennessee. Tennessee. Yeah, he said Tennessee. Wow. Yeah. We talked about that. Hey, Wes, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks,
hey,
Wes. Great info,
Clay,
man.
Hug Clay for me, Pogue.
I will. All right, thank you.
John, don't ever let Pogue, like, sandbag you in golf, okay? Don't ever let him.
Yeah. Duly noted, my friend.
All right, see you, Wes.
See you, man. Be good.
All right.